This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
It's a great point by Edith. And we'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Don.
Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
How did something like that happen?
Oh, I really think that has a lot of shelf life. I really do.
My kids have pooped on me. But it makes me seem like I'm the idiot. But I'm not. Just reading what was on the screen.
I'm sorry, Don. I'm sorry, Don. Welcome to what drops are, okay? RJ, what do you think? I think that Stench in Mamaroneck has a lot of potential future. What do you think?
It's just funny. Stench is so far from Bennett. But I'll take people behind the curtain a little bit. Usually when you're talking on the phone, it's not like you're talking on two iPhones. It's like you filter through an analog connection, like an old-timey phone. And we pick up the phone here, and when someone answers, they don't sound super clear. So if they're not talking directly into the phone, this sounds crazy. It could sound like anything. That name could sound like... Yeah, I mean, it happens to Andrew every once in a while, where it'll be Billy, and on the screen is like Christopher.
And here's the shame of it.
Yeah.
Bennett tweeted at us.
Okay.
Just got through to TMKS ESPN for the first time ever to talk about the Judge injury. That was incredible. Thanks, Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. So he's just cool that we got a chance to talk to him. But his first chance to talk to us live on radio, to the point that he was moved to tweet about it. He was called Stench instead of Ben. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
See, here's the thing. So Bennett, first of all, is a guitarist in a group called From States Away. He's a graphic designer. He's a proud nerd. He seems like a great guy. I would hope he's already appreciating that this is a big deal. You know, a random Aaron Judge question we would never remember ever in a million years.
But now
whenever he calls again, he'll call up and say, "Hey, it's me, Stench in Mamaroneck." He's getting right through. This is a big deal.
Yeah, Stench is not a name you want sticking. I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. I knew because who would proudly call themselves Stench?
But that's why when you worked through it, you went, "I think I'm saying this right, Stench in Mamaroneck."
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck.
How could that be? And I knew it was something that was probably going on with, you know, dealing with the computer. But I also knew when you said it, I'm like, no chance this person's name is Stench, unless it's like some nickname, like he's like a wacky kid in college. It's like Booger. If his name was Stench, it would be Booger or Jace.
It's just like Booger, right. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
I'm telling you, we're looking at a top three seed. I'm telling you right now, it's a top three seed. I'm calling it.
So that call became legendary. Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
So Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers escaped the Brooklyn Nets last night to reach the play-in round. 134-133. Down four late, a big Carmelo Anthony three. He'd been quiet in the second half. He cut it to one. Then CJ McCollum with a huge J. And, of course, Lillard was fantastic. 42 points, including the steal that may have really won the game for his Blazers. Now they'll face the Grizzlies twice over the weekend if they don't win. All the Blazers have to do is win one, and they advance. Now, Don, we've talked about how fun things have been. think about if tomorrow, when they play at 2:30 against Memphis, if the Blazers lose that game, how fun is a one game into the playoffs Sunday?
Yeah, for people who don't know, is that it's double elimination for Portland. So if they win the game, they're in. Memphis has to beat Portland twice. Right? That's the way I got that right.
That's exactly right. So if Memphis wins tomorrow, then basically you're looking at a game seven. Basically, tomorrow's the equivalent of game six. Portland's already up 3-2.
Right, exactly. Now
that's what tomorrow is.
Now, here's what concerns me for Portland. All right, and I'm not trying to take anything away from what the Nets did last night. You should be proud. We opened the show with it. Terrific. But you have to wonder, some of that might be from the fact that Portland just could be exhausted from all of these basic elimination games that they've played. I mean, they've needed almost every one of these eight games to get into this spot, to get into the playoffs. And I'm wondering if they're just kind of worn out. And now you get a real short turnaround. They played last night. That was a 9 o'clock tip last night on the East. Mm-hmm. And that's a 2:30 tip tomorrow. So it's not even like 2 days, really. So would you be concerned that they might just be flat out exhausted?
I thought the same thing. It's definitely worth thinking about. I almost wonder whether, and I know this sounds crazy, if Portland tomorrow sort of, you throw your best at it to try to win, Don, but if things get, let's say you get down big early, I wonder if you think, this doesn't look good, let's rest up and let's win this
absolutely.
Thing tomorrow. Right?
Because now,
it's one win either way.
Because if you're exhausted, well, then you're playing in back-to-back days. Now, you'll get a little bit of a break because the next game is at 6:30 tip instead of a 2:30 tip, so it's a little bit more than a day. But the point is, you're absolutely right. If you're down 12 going to the fourth quarter, do you say, all right, I'm not going to kill myself, come up short, and then hurt our chances on Sunday? Let's call off the dogs. Let's try to rest them up and then go for it. You have the luxury to do that. I guess you can.
Let's hear from Damian Lillard, shall we?
Yes.
This is after the game last night.
I was confident the whole time, but even when we went down 10, I was like, I might have to start putting my head down and making something happen. We kept preaching the same thing. We got to start getting some stops. If we don't get stops, we're not going to have a chance. And I thought we was able to put a few stops together and give ourselves a chance to play in transition instead of letting them set up their defense and double teams and stuff like that. And once we got those stops, we was able to, get to the rim, get fouled, get a few easier looks, and then get ourselves back into the game.
And that's exactly what they did, Don. They got back into the game. Not only did that, Don, they won the game.
No, it was really entertaining. And I know the old school guys are going to say, can you play a little defense? But people love points.
Well, no, they paid a little defense.
But when
that's
you
right,
needed the D, when you needed it, and I'm cool with that, right? It's an offensive game, but when you get down to the final couple of minutes and you need a stop, guess what? Lillard had the big steal.
That was beautiful.
And I can't really say defense had anything to do with the missed shot at the end of the game by LeVert, but the fact is that, they got the stops they needed down the stretch to win the game.
A team that did not win very much in the bubble would be the San Antonio Spurs. Quick exit for Pop's team. Here's a Pop after last night's game on his postseason run ending.
You guys are so full of baloney. Here's the deal. Streaky, not streaky. Who told Orsborne that the streak ended?
That's fake
news. It's total fake news. Lots of guys have been telling me the streak hasn't ended. I talk to people often, they call me. They tell me, Pop, the streak didn't end. It didn't end. I don't know where you guys are getting this.
Is he just mocking the president?
I think he is. He was not taking that conversation seriously. He wasn't really upset. But it is an interesting conversation on how history will look at all like teams like Phoenix, teams like San Antonio, Washington, and in the NHL, how they'll look at the Rangers and any of the other teams that lost the qualifying round. Because technically, they were not in the postseason, especially in the NBA, because they made it very clear that those were eight regular season games to get into the playoffs. So Maybe in the NHL you might be able to say the Rangers were in the postseason because it was at least a series. The Spurs did not go to the playoffs.
No. Streak is over. It's a little bit of a scary moment in the NBA right now. Miami-Indiana and Derek Jones Jr. Was just carted off for the Heat on a stretcher. It was an odd-looking injury. They said it looked like he was grabbing his neck. He got hit on a screen, basically, and was clipped sort of in his upper body, shoulder, neck area, coming around the screen, went down to the ground. They just stretchered him off. And, Don, I got to tell you, as creepy as that always is in sports, it's like extra creepy with the silence of
the
crowd.
Right?
Yeah, it was not great.
There have been, this could be a fun conversation for another time, Peter. There have been times, very fewer than I thought there would be, times where not having the crowd kind of affected what you saw. Like, I forget who it was because I've watched so much hockey, but there was a goal scored on a breakaway, and it was a gorgeous goal. But with the lack of fans reacting behind the glass, and the player who scored it was kind of slow to get up because he wiped out, and the camera didn't show his teammates congratulating him, and I didn't see the puck go in. I wasn't able to tell. And then when I saw the puck go in, it still seemed odd because he didn't throw his hands up right away. The players were kind of, because it was a breakaway, they had to catch up to him to embrace him after the goal, where the fans behind not being there kind of made it feel strange. Free throws have been very interesting in the NBA, I feel, without the fans there.
So I think that's probably why Lillard got annoyed the other day at Patrick Beverley, because it's so obvious when the opposing bench says anything during free throws. Everything is just so clear. Not much you can do about it.
Not a problem by any stretch, but the few things that I've kind of noticed watching all these games where the lack of fans kind of does change the viewing a little bit.
Five NFL game officials have opted out of the 2020 season because of the pandemic. Not a huge shock. But now the NFL's roster of officials is at 114, which is enough to fully staff every game this season, but they still may add another half dozen. Bill Belichick has spoken out about, well, who many believe is his new quarterback. Of course, that would be Cameron Newton. He said he's worked very hard, I'd say, as all of our players have. I'd say that certainly for all the quarterbacks at that position, those guys have been locked in, focused, and confident in what they're able to do. So really, he said nothing, I should say.
That's why he didn't bother playing any sound.
Of course, he's competing with Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer, and a guy named Brian Lewerke. I'm a big Lewerke guy.
Who's this?
Lewerke. So, Cam, come on. I mean, listen, I don't know what would have to happen for Cam to not win the job over Jared Stidham. And I'm not saying Stidham couldn't be good, but I it would be very, we don't know. Maybe he is good, but I'd be shocked. Let's keep it in the NFL. Greg Williams a couple days ago took a little bit of a jab, maybe at Jamal Adams and also at the Seattle Seahawks. Here he is talking about the safety heading for Seattle.
We're very multiple in how we do those things anyway. You know, we're not just a stand, you know, but Jamal may get bored there because they don't use their safety type things and all the different complexities of maybe this, not showing what they're doing as much as we do. We'll do still the same patterns of things. We'll still do a lot of the same exact things, but we'll highlight the people we have here. And as you saw, what we did there is that he had maybe his most productive year here because of how we highlighted the skill sets that he's had. And I've had a lot of really, really good guys at that position. Over the years, had a lot of really good safeties to be able to build things around.
I don't know if I wouldn't consider Greg Williams a poet,
But, no. The way I translate, because I'm a bit of a coach whisperer, as you know, they throw a lot of smoke and mirrors at you, the Jets, and kind of try to fool the quarterback. And Jamal, you know, probably was a little, had to be on top of things per play, because they probably had him in a lot of different places, try to hide him a bit, try to disguise a lot of looks, where in Seattle they believe they're just kind of more straightforward.
Now, Pete Carroll responded, though. Here's Pete Carroll. He was asked, will you use Jamal like the Jets did?
Gosh, we're so simple here, you know, and basic that we probably won't get to any of that stuff. That might be a good idea. Thanks for bringing it up. I'm not telling you what we're doing with the guy. Come on, what do you think? What do you guys think? We want to just give our hand away? We don't have to. See, there's no preseason game, so nobody's going to know. Yeah. We're not going to know what the other guys are doing. They're not going to know what we're going to do. And so the first couple weeks of the season are going to be a little different than they've been in the past, which will be exciting. It's exciting for the coaches to try to play that chess game, and we'll see when the time comes. I will be much more tight-lipped than ever before because we don't have to show anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think Greg Williams was insulting Pete Carroll. It was just that that's not how they're going to use Jamal as much. And I think Greg Williams was also kind of showing off. Like,
I was going to say, he's touting his own defense, of course.
We do a lot of different things and all that. Well, whatever. I mean, I think Seattle's personnel is better, and maybe that's why it will be a little bit more straightforward.
How about this? Seattle's better, full stop.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Maybe a little socially awkward, but better. Kings general manager Vlade Divac says stepping down. Oh. Now that their season is over.
You know what? It's been a while since Sacramento was meaningful.
Oh, you think?
I mean,
I think he was on the team the last time they've been meaningful.
It feels that way.
No, I think it is. I think that's.
But the thing is, they've been getting close to getting over the hump,
yeah,
right?
But, like, no, it's a snail's pace,
but it's moving slowly.
And I guess
how long's he been there?
God, it's got to be a decade, right? Stand by. The Maloofs don't still own them, do they?
They sold them.
I'm asking. I don't know. I'm asking if they still own the team.
It's a great question.
Since I'm checking out Vlade's stuff.
That's a really good question. Whether the Maloofs still own. Because it's funny. The Maloofs were like, there was a moment when the Maloofs were Mark Cuban and Jace. Everyone's talking about
2015.
The Maloofs.
So actually, that wasn't that long ago. And they no longer own the team.
Got it. RJ, I'm sending you an important piece of audio.
Was that? Was that 2000 when they had the Lakers on the ropes?
Yeah.
Game 7?
Early 2000s was the run. You know, that was Mike Bibby, Bobby Jackson. Vlade was still there.
Yeah.
The Kings were, Chris Webber, they were a delight.
It's been a long, long time for them. But you're right. They were starting to get there. 10 games under 500 this year. And I would have to go and see, like, the last time they were even above 500. Maybe then.
Don, let's hear from Baker Mayfield, who's trying to improve himself. He's been in the gym like crazy, ready to turn things around for the Browns. And he said that he's, quote, lost himself in the last couple of years.
the past couple of years have been a roller coaster of emotions and not nearly as much success as I'm used to. So I would say I lost myself, not having that success, not finding out what was working. I think I tried different ways of, trying to have that success and I didn't find it. So I lost myself in that and I wasn't able to be who I am for these guys who are on the team. And I've told them that. And I told them that if I'm not doing that, hold me accountable. So just finding that, finding out, I got to get back to the basics, like I said, and, establish myself in this new system and attack it.
It's time. They were not good last year. He has two of the top 12 wide receivers in football. I don't know, the lowest you'll put Landry, but two incredible wide receivers, and they offensively were just not special last year.
Well, sometimes it takes a little while, right? And he's getting older, and he's maturing. He sounds a lot more mature in that cut than he's ever sounded. So maybe there's just a lot of growing up to do.
Maybe soon he'll be like Russell Wilson. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Unlimited?
Mr. Unlimited.
If I had to advise him, I would advise against that.
Horrible thing happened to a golfer playing in the U.S. Amateur at Bandon Dunes in Oregon. Segunda Oliva Pinto called his caddy on Thursday night to forgive him after as bad a mistake as a caddy could make. Okay? The 18th hole, Oliva Pinto with an opportunity to win. He ends up in the bunker. As Pinto prepared for his shot from the bunker in his all-square match against Tyler Strafacci, his caddy, Brewer, entered the bunker and brushed the sand with his hands. It was caught on camera. They saw it on TV. The caddy is not allowed to make contact with the actual sand. He lost the hole and the tournament. But he called and apologized. Pinto told ESPN, quote, "He was in tears, heartbroken about what happened. I posted a picture on my Instagram saying it's not his fault. It could happen to anyone. He's not used to playing on the big stage in competitions, so he didn't know the rules."
Well,
that's tough.
That's got to be killer. So it's one thing tough. You do it to yourself, right? But then you're there to help. And he wanted to help.
He was trying to help.
The Kings had some very, very good teams in the early 2000s.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
05, 06, they went 44-38.
That's the end of it already.
05, they went 50-32. And in 2002, 2003, they were 59-23.
Oh, that's right.
Won the Pacific.
Yep. That was a time that the early 2000s, Sacramento, Dallas, Phoenix, L.A., good time basketball. This is when Jason Terry and Dirk were just, or was it pre-Dirk? Beginning Dirk? Had to be beginning Dirk, right?
Because
Dirk just retired after, 19 seasons? So,
yeah.
Beginning of Dirk. They were those teams, and then Phoenix, of course, was just ridiculous. Those teams were such a blast. And, of course, everyone mostly remembers L.A. from that time because Kobe and Shaq were just going crazy. But, man, yeah, Sacramento was fun.
Yeah, you had Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, Mateen Cleaves, Vlade Divac, Bobby Jackson, Jim Jackson.
Yep.
Petra Stojakovic.
Yeah, Stojakovic
is one of the purest. Chris
Webber. Stojakovic, one of the purest three-point shooters ever. Weber, who was such a beast at that point, he really became the player you always thought he would be. They were so fun.
But when those guys were done, and when
Has it been
done,
bad ever since, basically?
And since Rick left.
RJ, are you too young to remember the early 2000 Kings? Or was that the beginning of your basketball watching?
That was in the wheelhouse of the beginning. I'd say late 90s. Like, the Lakers dynasty really hooked me in. The first jersey, basketball jerseys I ever had was a Shaq Laker jersey and a Grant Hill in the turquoise Piston jersey.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But if I'm remembering correctly, was that the Kings were involved in the cheating scandal years down the road? Like, that was one of the games allegedly that Donaghy was involved in, wasn't it? I forget exactly which game. Six?
That's a good call. Wow, RJ, even as a child, you were sitting there just nailing everything. By the way, Don, this is I have just been sent, I just saw on Twitter, a new level of hate for me that I've never seen before.
Interesting.
Someone recorded a video of me and wrote 8 ums in under 50 seconds. How is this guy a professional broadcaster?
Was that from this show or from the morning show?
No, from this show. 8 ums, Don. How do I, what do I do?
But what was that? What were the ums?
I was probably reading a story and doing what I do when I'm reading the story and telling it at the same time. So I was sitting there picking out the quotes I was reading, so I probably ummed my way through it.
Is that right?
That's right. I'm being honest, Marshawn.
But you know what? I need the context of what you were doing there, because sometimes you kind of do that for effect.
Oh, it's always for effect, but sometimes the effect is stalling. I'm not stuttering. I don't want to make fun of stuttering.
People that don't like you. I got a tweet today. I don't even want to repeat it.
Oh, please. I insist you do. What'd they say?
Thank you.
Worse than that?
You want to go down this? I'm not going to give credit to the person.
No.
And I laughed at it. They think they're devastating me, but
please, I want to hear it.
Don LeGreco.
So one of my favorite follows is Big Blue VCR. Big Blue VCR.
Okay.
And it just shows old Giant clips, which are terrific.
Oh yeah, so, you love it.
So the guy that's doing it is given a run of preseason games. And he's showing a preseason game from 1986. It's Giants-Packers from Milwaukee. And they used to do this a lot when I was a kid. They would actually put up the Giants address that if you could house some Giants during training camp, you know, call this number or send in the request.
That is so insane.
Right, but you know, they used to do that like back in the 70s. So I tweeted out, I remember being like 10, asking my dad, "Let's get Harry Carson to stay with us," and my dad trying to explain to me that that's not how it works. Like, Harry Carson didn't need a place to live.
No, it was
that
kids.
Like fourth center that's not going to make the team, like, needed a place. So if you live close to East Rutherford and you had like an apartment or like, you know, a room above the garage, maybe the guy could stay there. But I'm a little kid, and I'm thinking, wow, maybe Harry Carson can come stay at my house. So I tweeted that out. And I even got a smiley face from Carl Banks.
I see it.
Which I thought was great. Oh, the guy took it down.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see anything.
Oh, man.
So not only was he mean, but he's a coward.
Well, he kind of took
that!
It, you know, but he was kind of insinuating that I was like, what are they, slaves, Don? You know, and like something to that effect. Or God, I wish I had it, because it was just like colossally stupid.
You wrote,
like, how ignorant
are
you?
Let's get Harry Carson to stay with us.
Yeah, thinking like it's just so colossally ignorant. But I just thought it was funny that like that level of stupidity.
God,
I
was making an face dead.
I've learned to laugh at such things, Peter.
I'm glad.
Pandemic has calmed me.
Don't talk to me that way.
Like that would never happen again. That moment would never happen again.
Oh no, I don't think so. You're too professional. Guys, do you remember? I'm going to throw three wacky words out there. Okay, it's a blast from the past. And Don, tell me if you remember this group. Okay.
Okay.
Do you remember the St. Louis Cardinals?
Do I remember the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah, that's right. The baseball team.
Yeah. I see where you're going there.
Yeah. Guess what? They're resuming their season tomorrow.
Hey, it's about
They are currently, wait for it, 2-3.
I love baseball.
And they are back on the field. Series opener against the White Sox.
My God.
They got an extra day. They have not played since July 29th. I am excited for them.
So well, something that you'd never thought you'd hear like an announcer say.
What, eight ums in less than a minute?
No.
Sorry.
That the Cubs have 11 games in, that the Cardinals have 11 games in hand. How can you have 11 games in hand?
I know. It's absolutely crazy.
Because the Cubs will play their 17th game tonight. So actually, by the start of play tomorrow, the Cardinals will have 12 games in hand on the Cubs.
Tough,
so they're 5.5 out of first place. But hey, wait a minute. Don't worry about it. They got 12 games in hand.
Yeah, a lot of games to play. That will do it for ENN on this Friday evening. Thank you, Don.
I'll tell you what.
Special shout out to the star of tonight's ENN, Bennett, a.k.a.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
What's the better drop? Editing out, am I saying this right, or including the whole thing?
I think, you know what it is, RJ? It's going to be combining the whole thing, I think, into a really long drop. What do you think? Yeah.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
No, hold on. Did he really say it twice like that, though? Or is it,
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's overlap there. But I think you're right. I think the combo is going to be the one that lives.
Yeah, that's
going
to be what
might be
lives
the one
on.
That
yeah.
lives. Oh, I just love doing this show.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.